رب وين
So we're up today to Daf Samach Vav, and we got all the way down to the last word. We're mamish on the first word of the Daf Samach Vav. Let us just review what we have done, because it's difficult to continue without a review in this case. Remember that the Pasuk told us the Gabe the Chagavim Es Ela Mehem Tochlu Et Ha'arber Lemino, and then we had Et Ha'Sol'am Lemineu, Et Ha'Chargol Lemineu, Ve Et Ha'Chagav Lemineu. We had a machlokes how to darshan that. We spent a lot of time in the Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael, but before the Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael was the Tana Kama. And all that the Tana Kama said was that the reason that it says Lemino, Lemineu, 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 Arba Pa'amim is Lahavi four particular things. The Tziporot HaKramim, the Yuchanan HaYerushalmit, the Hartzuvia, and the Harazvanit. Now these are particular minim that are similar to the minim that are listed particularly in the Torah, the Arba, the Solon, the Chargol, and the Chagov, correct? The reason that they need mentioning separately is because there are certain differences between them. All of them share the four simonim listed in the Mishnah, the four simonim being... Give me one.
The wings go over
the leg. The wings go over the hole.
The big leg.
The big leg.
Then
we have that, the big wings. The four wings. Okay, the four wings. And the kartzulayim. And the feet, the 4 feet. Fine. No, it's right. 4 feet, four wings. The wings big enough to be b'chatzim es rubo. And they have kartzulayim, they're not terabay. Fine. All of them share that. However, we don't share the fifth simon. There's also a fifth simon on these. What is the fifth simon? Either that they don't have a gabach, they do have a gabach, they don't have a tail, they do have a tail. We were going back and forth to prove yesterday that those are not simonim because we came out with the tzad hashavash. But we were left with rosho aroch. All of the ones that we had were Rosho Lav Aroch. How do we know if something comes along with Rosho Aroch? Now, none of the minim that are mentioned here have Rosho Aroch. In other words, when we added, according to the Tana Kama, the Tziporot HaKramim, the Yuchanan HaYerushalmiot, the Artzavanit, and the Razavni, none of them have Rosho Aroch. Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael, he darshaned, not each one with a lumineo to be marba, a particular chagav that's similar to the original. The Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael darshaned klal pradu klal, klal pradu klal, then he darshaned a mahatzad within a klal pradu klal, because he said, why do we need to know the sol am, given both the chargol and the arba, I already know that it doesn't matter whether it has a zonav or doesn't have a zonav, or whether it has a gabachas or doesn't have a gabachas, because between the two of them, we see that the only common denominator is the four simonim listed in the Mishnah. The others we can effectively ignore. We look to the Ma'atzah. What is the point, therefore, of saying this soul? Am im eino inyan. Imeino inyan, to add anything new that wasn't already given by the klal prad or klal of the selu tochlu, then the particular min, then the lemineu, or the lemino. The only point of the solam, according to the Tana Dvei Rav Yishmael, is to add the thing that isn't mentioned at all, namely, even if it is Rosh Aroch. Now you'll notice that according to the Tana Kama, there never was any basis to add something that wasn't Rosh Aroch, because the Tana Kama took each min, used the lemineu of that min to add a particular species that's similar to that min, but never extrapolated outwards. You can't learn one from the other for some reason, according to him. Apparently, he doesn't hold it to klal prad or klal. And therefore, he is stuck without an imeno inyan, because the imeno inyan means, being as I have a klal prater klal, and I could have derived this sol am, given the arba and the chargo, so the sol am is extra. But suppose I don't have a klal prater klal, then I can't derive the sol am. I only know what's given. A sol am is not a type of arba, a sol am is not a type of chargol, a sol am is not a type of chagat. A sol am is a sol am. So if I don't mention a sol am, I wouldn't know it. So I have to mention sol am, and I have to mention the lamineo in order to tell me the Yuchana Yerushalmi. Out of the lamineo of the sol am. Therefore, according to the Tana Kama, I have no basis whatsoever to be matir, Salam says beferet, but I have no basis to be matir a long-headed locust. Because none of the four species that are mentioned have long heads. And therefore, according to him, I'll have to add a fifth simon. The fifth simon is it has a stubby head. But you gave me four examples, and all of them have stubby heads. Therefore, today the Gemara says, B'maika miflige, the tana devei rav. And the Tana Devei Rav Yishmael, by the way, why does it call the Tana Kama the Tana Devei Rav instead of the Tana Kama? Because since this is a brisa from the Sifra, it's a brisa in the Teras Kehanim. The brisa in the Teras Kehanim is called the Sifra Devei Rav. Why? Because it was the standard list of brisas that was kept in the Beit Midrash, in the Devei Rav. So therefore, we call the Tana Kama here the Beirav, the Tana de Beirav. The Tana de Beirav Yishmael was a specific brisa, a list of brises that were only learned in the Beit HaMedrash of Rabbi Yishmael, because it followed the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. It was not the normative brisa. The normative brisa in the Teras Kehanim is not the Tana de Beirav Yishmael. So the Tana de Beirav and the Tana de Beirav Yishmael argue. In what? In this one issue, Barosho Aroch Kamiflegeh. They're arguing as to whether you could derive one from the other, in which case you have solam extra, to dorish with an eno inyan le gufo, tneo inyan le rosho aroch, according to Tana Devei Yishmael, whereas for some reason the Tana Devei Rav rejects that approach, says that if we didn't have solam, we wouldn't even know solam, and therefore it has to say solam. So what are they arguing in? By the way, I mean, the obvious thing that they're arguing in is whether we can doresh other fratim that are not mentioned, other minim that are not mentioned specifically. Why does the Gemara ignore that? If the Tana Devei Rav Yishmael says that it is a klal prater klal, then that means that anything that is similar to these minim is included in the heter. Whereas according to the Tana Devei Rav, these are lists of specific species. So the most obvious thing that the Gemara should have said, as Tosis points out, is that the machlokus is whether we're going to be marba other meaning. What are you only focusing on this one point of the machlokus? I mean, this is a limited thing. Yes, this is also a machlokus. But how about the main point? What about the other thousands of meaning out there? Says Tosis, maybe there aren't any. And that is weak, because remember, it also has to be called chagav, even a little bit of the son of Erev Yishmael. Maybe there aren't any other minim that have these four simanim, plus anything else that would be included, that the Tana Kama hadn't included already in the Yuchana Yerushalmi to the Tzipor HaKramim or the Atzudi and so on. Possibly. But this we know to be the machlokes. That's for sure. Rosh HaRoch definitely come in for it. So how does the Tana Devei Rav read the pasuk? Not as a klal prater klal. And then we'll have to figure out why not as a klal prater klal. But he clearly doesn't read it as a klal prater klal. So the Tana Devei Rabbi Sabar, Asher lo kra'ayim, anything that has kra'ayim. Those are the kartzulayim in the Loshon of the Mishnah. That's a klal. Then it says, Arbe, Solam, Chargol, Chagav, Lemineu, Lemino, Lemineu, Lemino, whatever. That's a prat. All I have is a klal of prat. The klal of prat ain't the klal of the mash of a prat. The mine, only what's written is included in. The law of the mine, low. Nothing else is to be included. And therefore, marve the dummy le mishnate stadin, the only thing that is included is something that is exactly like the minim over here. So I could not possibly have learned out the solam all on its own. I need to know the solam, because otherwise, how does a klal of prat tell me anything? Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel says, oh no, we have a Kol Prater Kol. We'll see why the Tana Devei Rav doesn't hold it to Kol Prater Kol. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel says, look, it's Kol Prater Kol, I shall not cry, that's a Kol. Then it says Arba, Solon, Chargo, Chogo, those are four Pratim. Then it says Lumineo. The Lumineo of each one is a new, is a Kol. Lumineo is expensive. Anything, anything like that. Chazar b'klav. Klav. Klav prater klav. Yet adan elakein aprat. Mar b'kol d'dom elei b'chat tzat. Therefore, it's anything that is similar to these things in the one issue that is listed in the Torah. In other words, those four basic simonim. And I would have been able to learn out the solon from the arba and from the chargol. And now I have the extra solon to tell me imeno inyan. Use it for Rosh HaLaros. And here is the problem. Ask the Gemara. V'halo domi klola kamala klola basis. There's no, how can you call this a klal tzadu klal? The klal that comes first is general. What's the klola kama? Asher lo kra'ayim, Omer Achmanas. Anything that has kra'ayim, if le yakol, let le lo tekol. And then you say leminehu, which means it has to be similar in its entirety, which means now the kolobasra means ad shavu biarba asimanim. It needs all four simanim. Isn't that right? So, okay, I mean, that's not a claw, brother claw. They have completely different meanings. One is a true claw. I'm giving you a simon, a shallow cry. There you go, anything like that. Then you start saying, then you give me a list of protein. And then the claw that you put at the end forces you to concentrate on, of course, only if it is completely similar to this thing and it's called a species of chargol or solam or chagav. I mean, so how do you call that a claw product claw?
So it's limiting rather than less.
Well, it's compared to the first claw, it's severely limiting. I mean, we should just see it as an extension of the prat rather than as a true claw. You're right that it is certainly expansive of the word arba to say let me know. It means you can add something. Okay, but I mean it means to add something. That's its species. I mean, why does it mean to add in general? So how do you call that a klal prater klal? Says the Gemara, that is the whole point in the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel all over Shas. We always say, whenever the Gemara asks, V'halo domi klal abasra l'klal akama, what do we always answer? Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel b'kahai gadmi darshik l'aliyu prater. And that is their sheet. And in fact, says the Gemara, this is the source of that rule. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel b'kahai gadmi darshik l'aliyu prater. And by the way, Damrina Nama Bialma, wherever we say all over Shas, the Doyin Tanit of every Shwab call it Pratikyagatha, it's Mehacha. This is the source of that halacha. Here it's an unavoidable conclusion in Rav Tanit of Erev Yishmael that that's precisely what they are doing. They're insisting, the Farish, that we're darshaning that it's Klole Klole and Prate Prate.
Even though
clearly they're very different. So we are left indeed with a klal prat uklal, in which we're going to limit it specifically to all four simanim. So in other words, we're looking at not as the klal basra being the ikar, but as the klal kama being the ikar, in the sense that I look at it essentially as a klal uprat. It's got to be similar in every single way to these things. But nonetheless, it's a klal prat uklal that anything similar in all four ways to these things is okay, even if it isn't a specific subspecies of this, which means that the Sol'am can be viewed as an extension of the Chargol and the Arba put together, because I don't have to worry about the Zanav, because the Arba doesn't have the Zanav. I don't have to worry about the Gabachas, because the Arba doesn't have the Gabachas. Doesn't have the Gabachas. So I have both approaches. So what do I need the Sol'am for? To tell me, Rosh HaRosh. That's the difference between them.
This is the example of that principle of the Yud-Gimel Midos.
It's the mocker. Well, this is not one of the Yud-Gimel Midos. Klal Prater Klal is the Yud-Gimel Midos. The fact that this is included in Klal Prater Klal is just a subsection of the Midos.
Do you have like this? Is the Laka like
that? Well, that's not sure I have to know. I mean, each case is...
Sometimes
yeah, that depends on what the alternative is.
If the principle is based on Kabbalah,
I'm not sure whether it's a Kabbalah or whether it's reasonable that it is. I mean, he's the mocker of the price of Kla Prada Kuala. Now, the next thing you said was, when you were discussing it, remember yesterday we said, okay, why does it say Chagav to teach me only if its name is Chagav, is it kosher? And then you said, well, how do you know? Maybe if its name is Chagav, that's enough, but it's not only if it's Chagav. In other words, either you can have the four simanim, or you can just have the name Chagav. The name Chagav is enough to be matir. Says, where the heck would you come up with such a thing from? I mean, how could you think that Shmo Chagav would be enough if you already darshan that you have to have Kol HaShelo, the Krayim, and so on? So, Ishmo Chagav Yocholim Bo Kol HaSimonim Alolo. And therefore, Tamid Lama Lemineu, telling me, Achiyo Bo Kol HaSimonim Alolo. Can you explain to me what you were thinking, quote, Ein bo kol ha-simonim alolo, unquote, me. Where the heck would you come up with such an idea that you could possibly have suggested that it, as long as it's called Chagav, it doesn't need any simonim? I don't understand. That would be against the pasuk, wouldn't it? I mean, it says beferish. The examples that we have is the Arba, the Chargol, and they all have these four simonim, right? Says the Gemara, you know, you would be right if it wasn't for the fact that it said Sopa. Alright? Because the Tanya the very Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Klal HaKama is the Iker, and therefore everything is basically a glorified Klal HaPrat, and it's limited to being similar to the Prat in every way. So you need all of the four simonim. Absolutely, I never would have entertained a notion that I could get away just with its being called a Chagav. But there's a little problem over here, isn't there? Because even the Tanya Dvar Rabbi Shmuel had to admit that it's not strictly a klal prat u klal that insists on being similar in every possible way. Because after all, if it did insist on being similar in every possible way, it would have to have a rosho lav aroch. And yet the Tanya Dvar Rabbi Shmuel is willing to accept that even though it's not completely similar to the listed minim, and it has a long head, it's still kosher. Now, where did he get that from? From the Eno Inyan. He said, well, what else is the meaning of Solam? It's absolutely unnecessary. Why is it written? Now, once you're ready to accept that Solam changes the rules on you, how do you know how much it changes the rules? So, Iloktib Solam Kidikam. Look, if it didn't say Solam, you'd be 100% right. You'd have to be out of your mind to entertain the notion that the words Chagav is sufficient now to undo all of the need for simonim. It only has to be similar in one thing, namely that the name is Chagav. Why would it only have to be similar in that one thing? If we already have established the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Klal HaKama is the essence. But it does say Solam, doesn't it? So after the Chtiv Solam L'Ribuye Rosho Aroch, how do you know it doesn't come to be Marabah in general? And say, look, generally speaking, you would be right that we would be very makbid on having every single one of the prat to match in a klal prat or klal. It has to be similar to the prat in every possible way. But this is not one of those cases. Isn't that what Solam says? This is not one of those cases. It can match up in 4 out of 5 ways. Who is to say that make it a 6th way? Namely, Chagav, and it can match up in 1 out of 6 ways.
The name.
Yeah, the name. Because you've already come now to take it out of the normal rules of Klal Prado Klal. So now you're turning it into basically a Prado Klal. It's like the Klal Basra is the Iker. That's what I'm asking. So now that you're telling me that the Solam is coming to be Mar, but it doesn't match the normal rules of a Klal Prado Klal, so that even Rosho Aroch that doesn't match is okay. So maybe it's just changing this into a Klal HaBasra type of Klal Prat HaKlal, and Eim Alir B'Nami Kolnu. So any similarity to any of the above things, including just the name of Chagav, should be sufficient. Therefore, comes along, says the Gemara, Limineu. Why did I have to throw back Limineu into the pudding over here? Obviously, once again, to restore your confidence in the strength of the Klal Prat HaKlal, and only to say, look, let's not get tangled up in things other than the 4 mentioned. four aforementioned things. And those, however, still necessary. So mashmalan, the word leminim. By the way, I'm a little bit confused about your language. The Tanakama, originally we said, Solam ze Roshon, Chargo ze Nipol. And then when you started saying it out, you said, Solam ze Nipol, and the Chargal ze Roshon. Why did we change the words? Now that's nothing, that's semantics. Markiatri, the Tanit Rav. The Roshon was called the Nipol. And in the Tumokam, in the Tanavir Rishmal, they used a different name. They switched the names. That's all. Truly semantics. Do you need to shecht Chagavim? So Rashi points out over here, and brings the Bahag and the Pasuk, well, it's clear we see from the Sugya throughout, we don't need to shecht Chagavim, because one nice way of eating Chagavim is to start a forest fire. And then go to town, except that then you don't know if they're Chagavim Kshirim. But the Gemara talks about that later, so obviously you don't need Shechita. Otherwise, how could you eat them without shechting them? It'd be a little too late. So there's no problem. Also, there's a sugya later on about not allowing kids to have pet trefa Chagavim because they might eat them. But it's okay to have pet kosher Chagavim because it doesn't matter if they eat.
Do they have simanim?
Chagavim?
Do they have all the simanim?
The ones that we eat?
No, do they have simanim for Shechita?
Oh, do they have simanim for Shechita? Now, that's a different issue. It's a type of simanim, you can call it a. I mean, they do eat, but they have tubes. They don't breathe in the normal way, but they have. They do have tubes. No, so the Bahag says that indeed, if you take a look at the structure of the pasuk, remember we were going down. We talked about first the behemoth, they needed shechita both siman. Then we talked about the ophis, they needed shechita one siman. Then all the way at the end, you come to the chagavim. So the fish, we know, we said already, Yatzifas, he says, well, we think the Chagavim are going to now go back and say that you do need Shechita. So, therefore, the Chagavim don't need Shechita. Or maybe the answer to Ariel's question, I would have thought the Chagavim need Shechita only on one simon because they only have one simon. So the air tube is not really an air tube because they have like openings on the side of the body also for taking it. No, a Chagavim is not under the oak. An Easter of eating a chagav would be an Easter of sheretz ol. An Easter of eating an ol tummy is not a sheretz ol. It's an ol tummy. It's a separate law. Completely separate. Right. Now, the next thing in the Mishnah was fish. Fish, as long as they have a snapir v'kas keset, it's enough. Tana rabbonah. How about if the fish in its immature state does not have snapir v'kas keset, but as it matures, it grows them, like the sultanit or the apian. Rashi says the sultanit is the tunina, and hareze mutar, then it's kosher. How about if it has it and it drops it after? When you take it out of the sea, it drops its kaskasim. Like the akunis, the apunis, the kaspastias, the akaspatias, and the atunis. What about that? Rashi says these are all Persian names, which is why they have that Persian ring. Also, hareza mutar. Now, tnan hatam, kol sheyeshlo snapir, kol sheyeshlo kaskeset yeshlo snapir. The Mishnah Nida says that anything that has scales definitely has fins. But there's plenty of fish that have fins that don't have scales. So if it has scales, yesh lo kas keset v'yesh lo sapir, it's a dark tahor. Yesh lo sapir v'yesh lo kas keset, it's a dark tamei. And that's very simple. So wait a minute. So then what do we need the sapir for at all? Hello. Calling all cards. Calling all sailors, skiers,
divers.
Come back to us. So ask the Gemara, if the bottom line is you're telling me all that counts is the kaskeset, why do we talk about snuff ears? You're telling me, anything that has a kaskeset has a snuff ear anyway. So if I find a kaskeset, it's kosher. So why do we talk about the snuff ears? If it has a snuff ear but doesn't have a kaskeset, it's not kosher. So just tell me, any fish with kaskasim is kosher? Where do we get all of this business from? By the way, it's a very interesting process over here, who asks, how do we know? We had that brisa before, the 700 species of tamei fish. Who knows? How do you know? How do you know? Maybe there's 700 million species of tamei fish, but just because all you've identified is 700 species of tamei fish, and therefore it's only 700 species of tamei fish. It's not as if the pasuk says it. And just because you never found a fish that has snapirim, that has kaskasim without a snapir, therefore there is no such thing as snapir, but that you're so convinced, where would we know it from? And I know the old standby sisters. You're going to tell me that it was a Kabbalah from Adam Rishon. But Adam Rishon never gave names to fish, did he? So he wouldn't know anything about fish, because it doesn't say God brought him fish.
He was
a
vegan or
a vegetarian? So one Shah says that maybe from the additional pasuk afterwards, where it says, Kol asher yikra lo ha'adam, the Kol asher yikra lo means that in the end he named the fish too. Because he knew he gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu his name also. So the Machara would have to, the Medrash says it's beferish. From the pasuk.
Before he found his
wife. Yes, it's crawling.
See, they were still part of the search.
Yes, even fish. Listen, people love dolphins. And, I mean, you know, they're very attached to whales.
For the blue whale.
Fish in the barrel, they're called fish. They live in the water. He lives in the water. He's not a fish. So, the other friend, okay, I don't know. Maybe it's Allah Kalamar should be seen. I don't know where we come off saying something like this. In any event, why doesn't the Torah simply write kaskasim?
Why does the Torah write
kaskasim? Say it. Let's turn that on. Why does the Torah say kaskasim? Why does the Torah say kaskasim? So, let the Torah just write kaskasim. We don't need snapir. Because he katav rachman kaskeset, the low katav snapir. If we just would have said kaskeset, I might have gotten it confused and said maybe the kaskeset is the snapir. In which case, even a dark tummy. Therefore, the Torah writes snapir for kaskeset to make it very clear to us what's what. Well, still doesn't make it clear what's what, does it? I mean, you say in the Mishnah in Nida, anything that has kaskeset has snapir, doesn't, has a snapir. Why don't you say the other way around? I mean, you obviously know what the kaskasim are. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. It says a Mishnah. Well, for heaven's sake, if you know what they are, then why didn't you know what they are until the pasuk said both? I don't understand what you're saying. Do you know what the word means, or don't you know what the word means? Obviously, you know what the word means, because you're using it. So then I don't get it. How do you know? So it says Sabir v'kaskeset. How do you know that kaskeset means the scales? Obviously, because you know how to talk. I mean, it does say in Shmuel, v'shirion kaskasim ulavush. I mean, remember good old Golios. I mean, he was dressed in armor that had scales. What do you call those? So then you're admitting that you know what the word means. So then, okay, then I'm back to question. Then lift up my neck, get the roll, lift up some beer.
It is very spicy, so
it's good. Yavu, came down to very small. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. Now, Tosfos says Yagdil Torah v'yadir is, we sometimes will double to make sure and so on. It's not normally called Yagdil Torah v'yadir. Ritva explains Yagdil Torah v'yadir means that had I only told you the kaskasim, you would have thought that only the kaskasim are an issue. Whereas, in fact, the snapir is an issue, even though you don't need it for identification. In other words, there's a real relationship between the simonim and the heter akila of the fish. It's not just the simon. So to tell you, if the Torah was only practical, you're right. What do I have to mention the snapir? If you know it, God gets it, you know? But then you would not know that snapir is part of the reason that the fish is mutter. Therefore, I need to tell you the snapir and the kaskasim so that you should be able to work out the relationship to the simanim rather than viewing them as only logistic simanim.
That's why you need it, but how does that answer why you use the expression Yagil Torah?
Because that is Yagil Torah. That is the godless of Torah, even though it's not Nogel Anocha. That's always what Yagil Torah the other means. Like for Ben Sorum or about, you know, even if there's no such thing, but we need to know the concept, the principle. So it's to establish principles that we call Yagil Torah
V'Yadir.
Because the snapir count, even though I don't need to know about them la halacha.
How do they count?
I don't know. How does Ben Sorum or count? Whatever, but it counts. Now go figure it out. It's not, in other words, we don't need to know how it counts. We need to know that it does count, conceptually. Now go figure, in other words, what are you going to say? Since we don't know about the existence of such and such a phenomena, therefore the phenomena should not exist. We don't understand the phenomena, so the phenomena should not exist. What's a quasar? I don't know exactly. Okay, so let's cut them out. That's what you're saying. I mean, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? You don't know what it is. Oh, fine, but this is the phenomena. There's a phenomenon called snapir, which is connected to kashrus. Why? One day you'll figure it out. Actually, Rav Kook has a whole analysis of the various simonim and how they relate to the heter. But it's unimportant because it's
exactly.
There's a conceptual madrig as opposed to the logistical madrig of lalom. Tana Rabbana, mimashma shenemar echol et sheyesh lo, shomea ani al tochlu et sheein lo. I don't get it. The Torah says, and then it says, I mean, I understand. Why are we talking so much? If you're telling me this is what not to eat, then I know the other kind you can't eat. If you're telling me this is the kind you can eat, then I know the other kind you can't eat. So why do you have to tell me both sides of the equation? Ah, says the Gemara. The reason is, Lama Shanan, why does it repeat it? Lavar la base velo tase. I need to know that there's a fee of ase, and I need to know there's a fee of a lo tase. Otherwise, I would have said it's only a lav habo miklal ase. Lav habo miklal ase is still an ase. Okay? Now, the next piece is tremendously rewarding, but difficult unless you pay very close attention from beginning to end. And it has immense implications for understanding the dinim klal, pradu, klal, and ribui, miut, ribui, and it's really a fundamental Gemara, which is not worth losing just for a couple of minutes of sale. So therefore, I urge, maybe even to stand. Of course, that gets you into the skiing mode. I know that's a problem. Maybe to lie. No, that would be snowboarding. Okay. It would be worthwhile to bring in our trusty chumash because it's important to see this inside. Would you mind bringing in from there? We have a bunch of koreins. And let us take a look, please, in Shmini at these very important... Go down by the stairs, it usually is. Right by the stairs on the left. Take a look in Shmini. It's Yud Aleph, as we saw yesterday. And here's what it says. And let's make very careful diyukim in... All right. It's not what we were looking for. But it's good enough. Page 271. Turn to page 271 in your Shiloh Kumashim.
All of you out there.
And this is in Shmini, Yud Aleph. And we're in Pasuk Tes. Now look at the confusion over here. Et Et zet toklu mikol asher bamai. Kol asher los napir vekaskeset bamai. Now, what do we need those two bamayims for? And then it says, bayamim ubanachalim. I mean, come on. Bamayim, bamayim, bayamim, banachalim. Otam tochel. Vekol asher in los napir vekaskeset bayamim ubanachalim. Oh, there was no bamayim over there. What happened to the bamayim? All right, so now, what we have over here is clearly an indication that the requirements for snapir v'kaskeset is specifically for yamim u'nechalim. Well, we're going to talk about that. Right, so suppose you have species of bugs and worms and so on and so forth, which fills up your water in your water cistern. Now, that's not a yam. That's not a nahal. Can you drink all those delicious water bugs even though they don't have snapir v'kaskeset? The implication of the pasuk is, yes, you may. And the halacha is, yes, you may have a nice drink of water bugs, worms, little crustaceans, yummy little crabs. All the things
maybe
that
I can
grow.
Throw a lobster in my
you can't
bag.
Throw it in, but if it grows in it, if it grows in it, you can eat it. The only time you can't eat something without the simonim of fish is if it's in the ocean or it's in the nachal. But, well, we'll see what defines the ocean. So now let's take a look in the Gemara and see how we derive this fascinating halacha. And I could see Richie is getting his appetite worked up right now. Come on, Richie. All right, so let us take a look and see how the Gemara derives this. Tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. You can eat anything in the water. That's what it says. You can eat anything in the water. It means it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what simonim it has. As long as it's in the water, it's okay. Did you see that pasuk? Okay, so eat anything in the water. Matam ad lomar. So what is this all about? Shiyachol ho'il v'yitir b'mefurash. We'll see all of this. Since there's one place where it says openly that you can eat these water bugs, and one place where it only implies that you can eat water bugs, then I would think, now all of this is very mysterious, doesn't make a word of sense when you first read it. I would have thought that makish yitir b'mefurash lo yitir ela b'kelim, just like when the pasuk openly said you can eat water bugs, it was only if they're in containers. Afkishitir bistam lohitir elevikelim. So too, when it was only intimating that you can eat water bugs, you might have thought that it was intimating only to eat them in containers. Minayin l'rabot borot shekinu ma'arot. How do we know that even if it's on the land, in a pit on the land, or in a cistern of some kind that you've dug out, how do you know that you can bend down, shishokeh, v'shotemiyem, and drink to your heart's content, ve'eino nimna, and you don't have to worry about it at all? Now you'll notice before it said nefesh hayafa, you have to have a good stomach. Over here it doesn't say you have to have a good stomach. Mashpat is not even a problem of a bal tshachtu. And indeed, the Rishonim are medayik. There's no problem about the shakts. Why? That's an issue. So some suggest why, because that's not what you're coming to. You're coming to drink water. They're just coming in agav. Therefore, it's not about the shakts. Others learn that something the Torah beferish goes out of its way to be matur. You can't time it's about the shakts, even if you don't like it. But anyway, how do I know that you can bend down over that cistern out there in the in the Rechava Yeshana, where they do the Tashler, where they where it's full of bugs and worms, and you can drink it, and you don't have to worry about its kosher.
You just have to worry about surviving.
Talmud Lomar Tochlu Mikol Asher Bamayim. Therefore, the Torah says, eat everything in the water. All right. Now, what are you talking about? Hey, honey, dear Bekelim, you said that just like when the Torah was Matir Kelim, where did it say you can eat bugs and Kelim? Well, it says, Etzetoklu Mikol Asher Bamayim. Then it says, Bayamim Ubanachalim. Okay, so that's telling you only by yamim ubanachalim are you limited to snapir v'kaskeset, right? Forget about the zeh asher tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Does it not say that kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeset b'mayim by yamim ubanachalim? Okay, but suppose it's not in the yamim ubanachalim. So then I don't need the snapir v'kaskeset, right? You're saying only in Yami Benekoli? Okay, so then obviously, if it's in a container in my refrigerator, so there should be no problem. Then even if it's full of bugs, I should be able to drink it. That's what the bugs can say. So, you see, that dafka there eats le'achod le'slei lo tochal. Hobe kelim, but if it's in a Coke bottle, then apagav le'slei le'achod, even though it doesn't have snapir because keset, and it looks like little crabs, you can still eat it. Now, wait a minute.
It's be a giant industry.
It's amazing.
They have these fish farms. They got all the stuff.
That's right.
Well,
there's a little bit of a catch. No, and that's not according to everybody. But there's a little bit of a catch in that you'll notice it says you can bend over the hole and drink. Now, it's hard to market something when they got to come to your hole to drink out of it. The question is, can you bottle it? That's the question. Okay, so there is an interesting question. Some learn the bottling is a problem because the Torah is only being matrit in the place where it grew.
So does it mean you can take a cup from the place?
So that's where you get into a question. Can you take a cup from the place? Because the problem is, once these little buggies crawl out, let's say the crab has crawled out of the board. Now it becomes a crab rather than water. And now it's also. So the question is, do you have to be hush that crawled up on the edge of the container? So you can. No, once it's taken out of the bar. So if you put your head in and you drink, then you're drinking okay. So now you understand it would have to be Teflon.
You can't climb on Teflon.
Okay, but I mean, come on. You know, there's a way out of anything, Rich. We could have basically air, you know, air gushing out of the edges to prevent anything from coming up. Package it that way. There's always a way to. To an entrepreneur, there's always opportunity. Always. Okay, so anyway, the mashma'ut over here is clearly that you can drink it, at least for sure, if it's in a container as opposed to in anything that looks like natural water. So, habakele, habagabe, let's lay a call. Now, wait a minute. Maybe the way to read that is, if something has fins and scales, then you're allowed to eat it as long as it's in the yam. But fins and scales not in the yam, even that you can't eat. We like seeing things of chumrah. Maybe we should see it the other way. So that, you don't need fins and scales if it's not in the yam. Maybe fins and scales won't even help you if it's not in the yam. So maybe we should go to chumrah and say, Habakalim, Ema Bekalim Apagav the East Lay Lotecho. Even if there are simonim, if it's not in the yamim, you can't eat it. No, you can never think that. Because it says, take a look at the pasuk that says the law. Kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeset, bayamim ubanechalim mikosher et hamayim, bayamim ubanechalim. Okay, so it's kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeset, bayamim ubanechalim, that I'm telling you, you're not allowed to eat it. But if not, you are allowed to eat it. So it's dafke by Anima benachalim the let le lo techol. Hobekelim, apagav the let le echol. You're telling me there is no iser on eating something which does not have snapir vekasketen as long as it's not in the yam. Okay, so now the only consistent way to look at this is to see that the Torah is insisting twice that the snapir vekasketen qualification is a din in yamim unechalim. We're agreed now. Okay. Now the truth is that these two psukim are the psukim that are being referred to, the satum and the mefurash. What is still mysterious and satum is which one of these is called satum and which one is mefurash, since they both seem to basically be on the same level of implication. There's nothing 100% clear about it. That the Gemara will ask later. You can't leave in the middle of this exciting circuit. The museum will close down. Alright. So now, the question is like this. Why don't we read this as a klal and a prat? The Torah says, Bamayim. Then it says, Bayamim ubanachalim. Okay. So Bamayim is a klal. Bayamim anachalim is a prat. Klal uprat. In the klal, ela mashe beprat. Yamim unechalim in. Nitzim v'karitzim lo. Is there you need the simonim. But anything less than yamim unechalim, such as, forget about borot. Remember, there's really three levels to this. Four levels. Keli. That's like completely out of it. Nothing to do with the ground. Standing water in a bore. Right? Then you can have haritzim, nitzim, that may be flowing water. You have borot shikinu me'arot that are similar to keli. You have all the way on the other end, yamim unechalim. And then you have haritzim and nitzim that are flowing streams that are connected to, these are channels that are connected to real flowing water. So now, I don't get it. You started off by saying, okay, the most I could assume is kelim. How do I know cisterns, where it's on the ground? That's also mutter. But what's usser? Yamim, nechalim, and flowing water as well would be usser, right? Wait. Why? If it's a klal and a prat, ein beklal ela masha beprat. So what did the Torah define? Mayim, yamim unechalim. Which water do I mean? Only the broad open ocean and the rivers. Anything less than the broad open ocean and the rivers, no problem, you don't need snapir v'kaskeset. But you're going to the other direction. You're saying, well, no. The only thing that we know you don't need snapir v'kaskeset is a bore. How do I know to even take it a step further and to include even a cistern on the ground? How do I know that, correct? That I learned from the tohu mikol asher b'mayim. That was the extra tohu. Why do we darshan as a klal and prat? And then you don't need the extra tohu. And then you have a klal and prat, and you can limit it only to yamim unechalim. And here, we have a fascinating new rule about klal, prat, or klal, which Ravina quotes from Eretz Yisrael. Amar Ravina, we've had this before, by the way, numerous times. Amar Ravina, kidei amre b'ma'arav, it's the way they tell it in Eretz Yisrael. But kol makom, sh'atamotzei, shnei klalot asmuchim ze leze, where you have two klals, one next to each other. Look again in that pasuk and take a look. That's exactly what we have. Et ze tochlu mikol asher b'mayim. Kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeset b'mayim. Two klals, and then b'yamim u'banachalim. So what do you do with two klals and then a prat? Hatel prat b'neihem. Take the b'yamim u'banachalim, put it between the two mayims, v'dunei b'kal prat u'kal, and use them as a klal prat u'kal. So you don't have a klal and a prat that would limit the need for snapir v'kaskeset to b'mayim b'yamim u'banachalim. Actually, have a klal prat u'kal b'mayim b'yamim u'banachalim b'mayim, which comes to tell me anything vaguely similar to yamim u'banachalim, any type of flowing water at all. And therefore, what do we have? Prat uklal. Okay? I mean, there we have b'mayim is a klal. B'yamim u'banachalim is a prat. B'mayim chazar v'kalal, nayav v'kalal prat v'kalal, yapadan elayekan aprat. Ma prat mefurash, what is the prat? Mayim novim, flowing water. Avko mayim novim, my rabbi. What then is similar to the prat that we are adding, which is ke'en aprat, mar v'ke'en aprat to require the sapir v'kas keset? Charitim v'neitim, which flow, li'isura. That's osir, but doesn't have sapir v'kas keset. Umayim mi'et, and what is not similar, that I do not need sapir v'kas keset, and I'm allowed to eat it even though it's a water bug? Borot, shifin, mi'arot, lehetera. Oh, wait. I thought you said that the Tanakh of Rabbi Shmuel was very mocked about klal prado klal, and said it had to be similar in every way. Well, how do we know not to say that the prat now is mefurash? In this case, how do we know that we should darshan the klal kama? Maybe we should say the klal basra is the ikra over here, and say ma prat mefurash ma'im gidei lima gabe karka. In other words, there's two things. There's flowing water. It's one way of looking at it. But it's also water that has naturally been gathered on the ground, as opposed to in a container. I mean, that's a major distinction, like by mikvos. I mean, that's the main distinction, right? So maybe it's af mayim gidelim agave karka. So anything that's agave karka, including borot, shifin, marot, is usher. And then my miyat tailing. The only thing that's not included is something that's beklal, not similar to yamim menorahs. Okay? No. Because the tochlu at the beginning is only adding. It says etzeh tochlu. You should eat. That was an additional pasuk. If I wouldn't have had that tochlu, I would still have been able to say the klal prado klal. And say only things similar to Bayamim Ubanachalim, but Kalim not. If you're telling me Tochlu, then you're obviously coming to tell me that even something beyond Kalim. In other words, the way to look at this Klal of Prada Klal is that it's coming now to make it similar in every way, and therefore it has to be Agavi Mayim, yes, but also flowing Agavi Mayim. So if it's only Agavi Mayim and it's in a water cistern, or it's an abor, should be perfectly okay. And that's how we come out, combining the din of Hatel Prat Beinayim, the Dunayim B'Klal Prato Klal, and the halacha of the extra tochlu. Now, this particular case is a case in which we're going to darshan, therefore, the klal is needing to be completely similar to the klal. We'll see the Tanakh of Rishon argues entirely on this whole thing anyway. They hold that this isn't even a klal prado klal, which we'll get into tomorrow. They don't agree with the way in which they do it in the Ma'arava, and they switch every double klal prat into ribui miyute instead of klal prado klal, which is fascinating. Which gives us a completely different way of learning this. So again, I'm sure you're really looking forward to this, because it'll give you time to review, and then we can start redoing the whole thing and throwing out everything we did today. But anyway, we're left with a wonderful experiment. We should get Barnea to do this, since he's all into these kind of things, of putting his head into a pit, closing his eyes, and slurping.
Thank you for letting us drink your water.
What would happen if we put the blender?
I'm going to have it in there. Congrats. No, that's the thing. I don't like using that.
Coming out of the side of the mountain. You know?
Stuff off the waist. That's
coming out of the mountain that we're talking about. Yeah.